This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. The Broadway musical Avenue Q won 3 Tony Awards this year, Best Musical, Best Original Score, and Best Book of a Musical. My guests Robert Lopez and Jeff Marks wrote the songs and came up with the show's original concept. Their idea was to write a musical that took the kind of songs and puppets that they grew up with watching Sesame Street and imagine what it would be like if those puppets sang songs that gave advice to young mixed-up adults about being single, finding a job, coming out, and so on. New York Times theater critic Ben Brantley wrote, "The songwriting of Lopez and Marks demonstrates that ambivalence, indecision, and low expectations can be the basis for a thoroughly infectious musical." The cast of the show includes actors and puppets. Here's a song about political correctness. It's called Everyone's a Little Bit Racist, and it's sung by a group of white, African-American, and Asian actors, along with several puppets.
Say, Kate, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Well, you know Trekkie Monster upstairs?
Uh-huh.
Well, he's Trekkie Monster, and you're Kate Monster.
Right.
You're both monsters.
Yeah.
Are you two related?
What? Princeton, I'm surprised at you. I find that racist.
Oh, well, I'm sorry, I was just asking.
Well, it's a touchy subject. No, not all monsters are related. What are you trying to say, huh? That we all look the same to you?
No, no. Oh, not at all. Oh, I'm sorry, I guess that was a little racist.
I should say so. You should be much more careful when you're talking about the sensitive subject of race.
Well, look who's talking.
What do you mean?
What about that special monster school you told me about?
What about it?
Well, could someone like me go there?
No, we don't want people like you.
You see? You're a little bit racist.
Well, you're a little bit too.
I guess we're both a little bit racist.
Admitting it is not an easy thing to do.
But I guess it's true.
Between me and you, I think
everyone's a little bit racist sometimes. Doesn't mean we go around committing hate crimes. Look around and you will find no one's really colorblind. Maybe it's a fact we all should face. Everyone makes judgments based on race. Now, not big judgments like who.
I asked songwriters Robert Lopez and Jeff Marks if there were landmines they had to be careful of in writing that song.
We usually write in public. We write on the streets of New York City and in cafes, and we have a very collaborative process where each of us is writing lyrics and throwing lines and bouncing ideas off one another. And we were on a bus, I remember, writing this song, and all of a sudden I realized that everyone was sort of looking at us. And
we were singing that Christmas Eve part about the Jews have our money and the whites have. Yeah. I mean, it's okay for an Asian woman to be singing it because, she, has permission to do that, but we don't really.
And we whenever we write the songs, we would speak in the character voices. So we would sort
Monsters
of do a mock Japanese accent for Christmas Eve. We'd do a Gary Coleman accent, whatever that was.
It was really offensive.
It was pretty offensive. So we had our share of horrified onlookers.
Mm-hmm. Why don't you tell us a little bit about the very premise of Avenue Q?
I guess to just put it all in a nutshell, Avenue Q is a fictional place. It's a community way outside. It's in New York City, but it's way out in the boroughs. Far away from Midtown Manhattan. It's the only place where college graduates can afford to live with their BAs in English and their entry-level jobs and their crappy lives. And it's a place where some of these inhabitants are puppets. And they all get along together in this building on Avenue Q. So
very much like an adult version of a children's show you may remember. Except these are all college graduates, and a lot of them are unemployed and looking for their purpose in life and trying to make
find
ends
their way
meet
in the world. Yeah,
dealing with breakups and relationships.
So how do you use the puppets interacting with the actors on stage?
Well, the puppeteers are they walk around on stage in full view. They're dressed in black and gray. And they hold the puppets in front of them, and they walk around carrying them. And the puppets have no—they're cut off at the waist. They have no lower, nothing below, no legs. and they talk. The puppets talk to each other. The puppeteers really don't acknowledge each other.
No.
They do their acting through the puppets, and there's some human characters, too. There's Brian, there's Christmas Eve, and there's Gary Coleman. And those human characters interact with the puppets. Nobody interacts with the puppeteers. They're just there to, you know, breathe life into the puppets.
Yeah, the puppets are the characters, and the style of puppetry and the style of puppets is very much in the children's television Jim Henson kind of vein. And what we're able to see on the stage of Avenue Q is the style of puppetry. You're able to see the puppeteers do their work.
Now, with Sesame Street, the equivalent of Broadway musicals for you when you were growing up was Jeff Moss, who wrote a lot of the songs. Your Cole Porter was Miss Piggy, your Ethel Merman.
Yes.
In a way, yes. Yeah. Well, we definitely looked at the songs of Jeff Moss and Joe Raposo and held them up as models.
Williams.
Paul Williams. They did amazing work back then, and we were all watching it and taking it in. And I think it probably was our first exposure as kids to characters breaking into song, which is part of the reason why we chose to work with puppets in the first place in our adult lives. We wanted to, we realized that musical theater has become something of a cliche to our generation. Not that we agree with that.
And let's face it, I mean, you don't really see people our age too much listening to Oklahoma and Funny Girl.
Right. But
it's just, you know, it's a bygone era for the most
part. We realized that when a puppet breaks into song, there's not a bone in your body that says, oh, right, that puppet would never break into song. Because you're already trusting that it's alive. You already believe that it's alive.
Did you initially intend to write these songs for a kids' musical? I mean, this is an adult musical, but when you started writing songs with the idea that puppets would be singing them, were you thinking it was going to be for kids?
Never.
No. We wanted to write a musical about ourselves and our friends and the idea that people our age were coming out of college. I was coming out of grad school. We were both living in apartments owned by, I was living in an apartment owned by my parents. Bobby was living with his parents. So was everybody else we knew. And the people who were out living on their own, you know, were out in Queens and Brooklyn where you wouldn't really even want to visit. After college, when you are, even through college, you're led to believe that you can go out and set the world on fire. You find out quickly that
it's a lot more complicated than that.
Well, this reminds me of a song. Let's hear another song from the cast recording of Avenue Q. And this is a song you both wrote called It Sucks to Be Me, in which everybody is thinking that their life is even worse than the next person's life, and they're almost competing for whose life is more depressing.
That's the opening number. Right after Princeton sings What Do You Do with a B.A. in English, everybody comes out and sings this.
So this is It Sucks to Be Me from the cast recording of Avenue Q.
When I was little, I thought I would be a big comedian on late night TV. But now I'm 32, and as you can see, I'm not.
Nope.
Oh, well. It sucks to be me. It sucks to be me. It sucks to be broke and unemployed and turning 33. It sucks to be me.
You think your life sucks?
I think so.
Your problems aren't so bad. I'm kind of pretty. I'm pretty damn smart.
You are.
Thanks. I like romantic things like music and art. And as you know, I have a gigantic heart. So why don't I have a boyfriend? It sucks to be me.
Me too.
It sucks to be me.
It sucks to be me. It sucks to be Brian.
And Kate.
To not have a job. It sucks to be me.
No, Nikki, we haven't talked about this before.
Hey, Rod, Nikki, can you settle something for us? Do you have a second?
Certainly.
Whose life sucks more, Brian's or mine?
Ours. We live together.
We're close as people can get.
That's music from the cast recording of Avenue Q. My guests Robert Lopez and Jeff Marks wrote the songs for the show. Well, let me ask you, what was the most depressing aspects of your lives when you got out of college and were trying to make that transition into figuring out what you were going to do next, figuring out what your adult lives were going to be like? Bobby, let's start with you.
Well, when I was in college, I knew I wanted to write for the musical theater, and I don't think I knew exactly how stupid a dream that was, because so few people get to do it and have a living at it. But I didn't give myself a plan B. I didn't give myself another career path that I might have in mind. I just decided I would move to New York and do it, and I ended up moving back in with my parents. So I was living in New York, and I realized, well, nothing is going to be happening for me. I'm not going to have a Broadway musical for a while now. And I was temping, and I was living with my parents, and that's being on the bottom of a very, very tall totem pole. You realize that, you know, suddenly you're in the middle of this hierarchy. College is a very equal, you know, egalitarian society where everyone goes to the school. Doesn't matter how much money you make. Doesn't matter, you know, who you are. Everyone's a student. But when you get out of college, you realize, oh, it's all about money. It's all about success and who you are. You know, if you live with your parents and you want to be a Broadway composer, tough luck. So that was that. I realized, oh well, I've got a very long, difficult journey ahead of me. And it's sort of funny when you take a long view of it. And I think a lot of that humor was part of you know, the humor we were able to find in Avenue Q.
I think this is Jeff. When you come out of school, and in fact, the better the school, Bobby went to Yale, the better the school, the worse you feel it. You feel like you just have this vague notion that you're talented and you're smart and you're going to do something with your life that's important or respectable. And when you get out of college, there just are not all these opportunities banging down your door, like I suppose when you're a college kid, you dream that there will be. And the truth is, you know, that with time, what you're thrust out into the world and you figure out how to make your own life. But, you know, those first few weeks, months, and years out of college, college does not prepare you for real life, so you don't know what the hell to do with yourself.
I remember I was temping. I temped for Pfizer Pharmaceuticals, and my job was to sit and write these form letters every day, all day long, to satisfied Viagra customers who would write in with their ideas. They people would be so happy with Viagra that they would come up with a jingle and they'd send it into Pfizer. And I had to tell them, well, Bob Dole is our spokesperson currently, and we have a advertising campaign, and that was my life.
But and
oh, wait,
and,
wait. Do you remember any of the jingles?
Oh, I should have saved them, but I wasn't allowed to. I wish.
Wow.
Oh, well.
For copyright reasons, we're not allowed to.
My guests are songwriters Robert Lopez and Jeff Marks. We'll talk more about their musical Avenue Q after a break. This is Fresh Air. My guests, Robert Lopez and Jeff Marks, wrote the songs for the hit musical Avenue Q. Now, you met each other at a BMI workshop. Do I have that right?
Yeah, it's called the BMI Lehman Engel Musical Theater Workshop. It's a great program for aspiring musical theater writers. We'd only been working together for about a year, and we had written a project. Although, you know, I had been writing songs my whole life since I was 11 years old. I've been wanting to write for the musical theater.
I didn't. I was brand new at it. I didn't really write until I met Bobby in the workshop.
But our very first project together was something called Kermit, Prince of Denmark. The assignment was to write an adaptation, a full musical. And in this version of Hamlet, of course, everyone lives at the end, and it's a funny case of mistaken identity. Kermit the Frog is on his way in the beginning, is in an airport on his way to meet his buddies, the other Muppets, in Denver, Colorado, and he gets on the wrong plane and ends up in Denmark. Get it?
Got it.
So yeah, we wrote a whole bunch of songs for that, just one after the other. They came real easy. The class was laughing their butts off. We were having a great time. We won a huge award for it, a huge cash award for it, which helped us not have to temp so much and actually write more. So we went, hey, maybe there's something to this. We started getting jobs writing stuff for the Disney Channel, for a touring children's theater company called TheaterWorks USA. When those jobs really were supporting us, we said, all right, let's write something for real, for adults, for people like us. And the idea came to us for Avenue Q.
So is there a verse that you can sing from Kermit, Prince of Frog of Denmark, or Prince of Denmark, which was it called?
Kermit, Prince of Denmark.
Kermit, Prince of Denmark. We could sing it, or we could even get you the demo if you want.
Sing it.
I've packed my sweaters, my shoes, and my slacks. Turned off the email, the phone, and the fax. I'm on vacation. It's time to relax in Denver. La, la, la. I'm going skiing and taking it slow. I find it freeing to go with the flow. With all my being, I'm ready to go to Denver.
And he gets on the wrong plane going to Denmark. Mayhem ensues,
every
great Muppet movie should.
Now, Jeff, you mentioned that you had never written songs until you met Bobby at this workshop. So,
right.
No, my understanding is that you both write the music and the lyrics together. Jeff, did you have a music background?
Yeah, I had always played piano by ear. I still don't read music,
mm-hmm.
Which is why Bobby usually plays the piano. But I played for myself, and I read the chords, and I played at cocktail bars and stuff like that. But I had never written anything, and I had always sung, and I was a musical theater performance major in college. But I found that I didn't enjoy acting. And I didn't feel that I wanted to go make a career out of it, so I went into law school. And I went through law school, and in law school, they have a parody review every year called the Law Review.
A UE review.
Exactly, the UE review. And I ended up writing some songs for that. It was my first time writing anything, and I found that I was actually good at it. And I took some of the lyrics, and I applied to the BMI workshop, hoping that I could get into this community where I would meet young, talented people and find clients. And instead of finding clients, I found a collaborator and stopped practicing law. And Bob and I have been making a living writing musicals.
Well, I want to play another song from your musical, Avenue Q. And this again, is an adult take on the kind of song you used to hear on Sesame Street. It's called If You Were Gay. Would you set it up for us? Tell us what's happening in the story when this song is sung.
Well, this is our introduction to two of the major characters, but not the main characters. They're two roommates, Nikki and Rod. Nikki is a lovable freeloader. He's sort of rotund and cute and pudgy.
Jolly.
And Rod is an uptight investment banker who you'll find in the song is in the closet.
He's also a Republican.
Yeah, right.
Okay, so let's hear it. This is If You Were Gay from the cast recording of Avenue Q.
Why do I care about some gay guy you met, okay? I am trying to read.
Well, I didn't mean anything by it, Rod. I just think it's something we should be able to talk about.
Well, I do not want to talk about it, Nikki. This conversation is over.
Yeah, but Rod...
Over!
But just so you know, if you were gay, that'd be okay. I mean, 'cause hey, I'd like you anyway. Because you see, if it were me, I would feel free to say that I was gay, but I'm not gay.
Nikki, please, I am trying to read. Nikki,
I'd still be here.
Nikki, I am trying to read this book.
Year after year.
Nikki.
Because you're dear to me. And I know that you
what?
Would accept me too.
I would?
If I told you today.
Hey, guess what? I'm gay.
But I'm not gay. I'm happy just being with you.
Hide my shoes, pal Joey.
So what's gonna matter to me? What you do?
Just born that way.
And as they say, it's in your DNA. You're gay.
That's from the cast recording of Avenue Q, and my guests, Robert Lopez and Jeff Marks, wrote the songs for the show. It won 3 Tonys this year, including Best Musical. Okay, well, Jeff, I don't think I'm giving away anything here. Jeff, you're gay, and Bobby, you're straight.
That's right. So, how'd you know that?
And married.
Yeah, that's true. I just got married in October.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Congratulations. So, I'm wondering, what are some of the personal things from life that might have inspired the song?
This song?
Yeah.
The more personal stuff in Avenue Q is about the relationships and the breakups. There's a Fine, Fine Line was written when Bobby and I were both going through hard times in our relationships. And there's a song called The More You Love Someone, The More You Want to Kill Them, which came directly out of the same thing. I think that was really out of my boyfriend troubles.
Well, I mean, the truth is that Jeff was already out of the closet when I met him, so I never had to, nudgingly poke him out, as Nikki does in that song. But when you're straight in the musical theater business, people are always trying to tell you, "Oh, come on, you're gay. You just don't know it yet." Or you're gay. Come on, admit it. And I really, I always had to say, "No, I'm not." So I kind of identify with Rod in that song, even though he is.
I never thought of it that way.
Robert Lopez and Jeff Marks wrote the songs for the musical Avenue Q. They'll be back in the second half of the show. This is Fresh Air. This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross, back with Jeff Marks and Robert Lopez. They wrote the songs for the Broadway musical Avenue Q and came up with the concept for the show. It won 3 Tonys this year, including Best Musical and Best Original Score. It's an adult show inspired by the puppets and songs Marks and Lopez grew up with, watching children's shows like Sesame Street. What are your favorite Muppet songs from when you were kids that you grew up with?
Oh, so many.
I think you can't beat Rubber Ducky.
The Rainbow Connection is just a fantastic song.
You know, there's a song that's not really that well known. Maybe it's just not known by me when I was a kid because it was written later. But it's called I Don't Want to Live on the Moon. And it was written by Jeff Moss, and Ernie sings it.
You want to sing a few bars of it?
I would like to visit the moon on a rocket ship high in the air. Yes, I'd like to visit the moon, but I don't think I'd like to live there. Though I'd like to look down at the earth from above, I would miss all the places and people I love. So although I may go, I'll be coming home soon, because I don't want to live on the moon.
That's sweet. I'm wondering if TV themes made a big impression on you, too, when you were young?
Yeah, I remember loving the Gilligan's Island theme. I would sing it in the shower and... there's all these tapes of me when I'm 4 years old singing the Gilligan's Island theme.
Really?
Yeah.
I remember loving, the show didn't last long, but the song sure did, The Greatest American Hero.
Oh, me too.
Believe it or not, I'm walking on air. I never thought I could feel so free. Flying away on a wing and a prayer. Yeah. Who could it be? Yeah. Believe it or
Jeff
not.
Jeff and Bobby sing the
it's
hits.
It's just me. Do we need to pay royalties for that?
Oh, that's great. So did either of you ever, like, write for a rock band or a pop band?
No.
We actually thought about it. We wanted to, at one point, do songs just for the hell of it, like a Beatles album, but we never got around to it.
Yeah, we like to write for situations, and we like to have specific characters in our songs. There's something about adding... music to drama that allows you to, I think the originality of being able to pair a song with a dramatic situation is what's attractive, at least to me, about musicals.
I agree. When one character is singing it to another character for a particular reason to get something out of the other character or to communicate something or, you know, to get to another plot point, mm-hmm. It takes you somewhere more than when Johnny Mathis sings the song, which is also great, but it's a different purpose. In the dramatic context, it's more of a participation with the audience.
I have another kids' TV question for you. If Sesame Street was like the Broadway of children's television because of all the great songs, then I think Schoolhouse Rock was like the jazz hipster place because, you know, you have like Bob Dureau and Dave Frischberg and Jack Sheldon doing the music for it.
Lynn Ahrens did some of it.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
She went on to write musicals.
Yeah, she went on to write Ragtime and Once on This Island and a lot of big Broadway stuff. Anastasia, the movie.
So did you watch any Schoolhouse Rock?
Sure.
I never saw that, actually.
Oh, I did. I did.
I got into it later, though.
I'm only a bill, and I'm sitting here on Capitol Hill. La, da, da. I hope someday I'll be a law. Yes, I hope and I pray that I will. But today I am still just a bill.
Did you ever see there's a Simpsons episode that parodies that song?
Oh, yes.
I'm an amendment to be. Yes, an amendment to be. And it's like he's a flag-burning amendment sitting on
the It's right after the contract
we
for
should
America.
Do one now.
Yeah, right.
Constitutional
exactly.
amendment about gays not marrying.
I grew up on children's television, definitely. But my show was Electric Company as a kid. They, you know, had Easy Reader, and it was a little bit more advanced than Sesame Street and Mister Rogers. But I was really into it, and it had some puppets on it too. The words were longer, and I remember a song called T-I-O-N. It was T-I-O-N shun 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 shun, which explained a rather complicated, you know, spelling rule. I think we're definitely children of the 70s. Jeff was born in 70. I was born in 75. And that, during that time, the kids were just exposed to so much education on television. There wasn't so much of the stuff that's like the Teletubbies and Barney and stuff that's just aimed to keep kids quiet. This was all really, really quality stuff that was on back then. And I kind of wish I was able to raise a kid in that time period instead of looking at the possibility of having to do it now.
Well, I really enjoyed this. Thank you so much for talking with us, and good luck to
you. Thank you a lot.
And
it's a pleasure.
My guests have been Robert Lopez and Jeff Marks, who wrote the songs for the musical Avenue Q.